Hello and welcome to the Hug Nation podcast. This is Halcyon, and this week is a little different. I have a kind of a visual-based premise for the show. I got a sty, a big grody thing on my lower eyelid, and so I was wearing sunglasses during the whole broadcast and trying to explain all that I've been going through, as well as shared a video clip that I will let play out in this audio. However, I recognize that a video and descriptions of kind of visual things are kind of annoying when you're listening, but rather than try to edit this in a way that is more appropriate for audio only, I'm just going to let it go and let you use your imagination. And if that seems like too much to go through, then just delete this one and see you again next week. I am so appreciative. I love you so much. Thank you for downloading this and listening. If you are listening and you have any comments or feedback or suggestions or anything like that, I would love to hear and find out. I really want to make this better. And if I have knowledge of what is working and not working, then I can address that. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep doing my best as I continue to do. And I hope you're doing your best. Hey, let's all do our best. I love you. Here's the show. We are trying something new today, which is that I am hiding. I am hiding behind a mask of shades. Oh, did you not notice? And you might be thinking, you know, normally I don't think Halcyon is quite that cool, but with those shades, man, he is cool. Well, there's a reason for this. Well, not for my coolness. There's a reason for my appearance of coolness. I am wearing the shades because I have what is commonly known as a sty. And it is gross. Oh, did you want to see it? I'll show you. Just give me a second. If you are listening to the audio-only archive on SoundCloud or iTunes, then you are going to have to imagine. And so I'll maybe paint a picture for you. Imagine if there was a creature that laid its eggs inside your face. And as that egg began to grow, it would bulb from your lower eyelid and give people the impression that perhaps I'm about to be sprung upon by a creature that will then lay its eggs inside me. That is kind of the appearance, and that is kind of the reaction that I'm getting from people. So I've had it for a couple of weeks now, and it's actually, I've had a series of them over the last few months. And I've been taking a lot of pictures lately. I got this snazzy new hairdo, and I decided that it was unfair for me to post so many photographs of myself while I was hiding the truth. You know, I was photoshopping occasionally, and I was putting makeup on my face when I went out in public and when I was broadcasting, and definitely deciding not to post pictures that where you could see the bulbous or the reddishness from my eye. And it made me become aware of my kind of, maybe not shame's the right word, but like the judgment of a non-perfection. And I started to feel like, wow, that's, considering how much I aspire to be transparent and broadcast self-love, the fact that I'm not sharing the truth is, you know, out of integrity. So I posted a picture showing the sty. And I what I said was, in the spirit of transparency and authenticity, I want to introduce you to my current sty. And mentioned that I'd been taking pictures and photoshopping it. And I did that simply as a statement, as a confessional, as a coming clean. And in response to that, I got over 150 posts of medical advice, which on one hand is so heartwarming that, you know, people see me maybe appearing to be in pain or in need of medical help, and you reach out to me. So thank you so much for everyone who cared. At the same time, it is interesting that I did not ask for medical advice. My purpose was to say, hey, like, this is who I am. So I would just maybe just like, as a note to self, you know, if your reaction when someone shares something is that you need to fix it or you have something to offer them, be aware if that is the dynamic of that interaction. I know that I mention that because I am very guilty of going to fix. Someone shares with me something and one of my ways of trying to express love is trying to share my wisdom or my know-how or my ability to fix. And I've learned over time that that is not nearly as often what somebody wants than when I'm willing to offer it. So that being said, I appreciated all the advice and I took a lot of it. I got advice from everything from, you know, putting a hot tea bag, hot compresses is kind of the go-to, which is what my doctor had said when I saw them a couple months ago for something similar. People also said, put colloidal silver in your eye. Someone recommended urinating in my eye. A few people said, heat up gold and press the hot gold onto the area. And near the end of the 150 comment list was someone said, breast milk. Absolutely. Put a few drops of breast milk in there. It'll clear it right up. And I happen to have a schedule to meet up with my friends, Dimitri and OT, the next morning at our Pink Heart breakfast or brunch. And OT is breastfeeding. So I was like, well, look at that. Someone puts that advice and I happen to have access to a lactating mama. Why not? Is it at that time of the broadcast when I show you what it looks like? All right. Nah, I'll do it like burlesque. Yeah, all right. How's that? I got no concealer on it. Letting it go. It is significantly worse looking than it was yesterday. So either the breast milk was bad or it was good, depending on if I was hoping for it to just kind of go away or if I'm hoping that it eventually ruptures. Yeah. So I've been doing hot compresses and tea bags and boric acid. And yeah, I've tried that and breast milk. So I thought since we did film the breast milk eye experience that I would share that with you. And so if you have young children with you that would be offended by a lactating breast, shame on you. You should not be raising children to think that breasts and lactating breasts are shameful. I am not going to ask any children to leave the room. On contrary, although maybe they will get confused by a boob in the eye, but we should be embracing breasts. We should be embracing lactating breasts like they are the pinnacle of all things wonderful and natural and miraculous. So, with that being said, I offer you a little look at my wacky world.
Are you going to stand over you?
Wait, that work better for you?
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. I mean, whatever it does.
Okay, so this is like the craziest thing. Hold on.
Somebody video game? Yes.
Yeah. Is that supposed to be?
Oh, almost.
Good shot.
Are you putting it in your eyeball?
For his eye.
Oh, oh my god, that's so crazy.
Oh, no.
Is that a thing? I never heard that.
Well, someone put it on the internet today.
Well, whatever it is, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, perfect. Okay. Thank you.
One more. God, that's good.
That's so cute.
Breast milk. It's not just for breakfast anymore.
You know, I'm now 45, so the opportunity to have a virgin experience is exciting, no matter what that virgin experience it is, whether it is meeting a man with two penises or when getting breast milk in my eyes. That being said, I have not met a man with two penises. So if that is you, that is my open invitation to reach out and say hello. Hopefully you won't judge me any more harshly based on my physical afflictions or my ways of dealing with them. I think, you know, I this is part of my path of accepting body imperfections and recognizing that it's all perfect. And, you know, I actually had a cool experience last night as it started to get worse. And I could kind of feel, it was like the pressure was building up and it was kind of hot. And I was like, you know what? I can feel like the heat. And when this is what I'm imagining in there, my body, my white blood cells and my defense mechanisms, my immune system just going like, because anytime you're having an illness, it is the body communicating with you. It is the body doing what it needs to do to bring you back into balance. And so every time you're out of balance or hurting or limping or any of those things, any sickness is a demonstration of the miracle. 45 years and I'm still functional for the most part, especially with a Viagra. Okay, sorry. I'm a little silly today. Can you tell? It's because I'm hiding behind these glasses and I get to play a role of cool guy. So there's a bunch of other things I want to talk about today. The breast milk experience was at my theme camp, first meeting of the year at Pink Heart. And if you're new to paying attention or watching Hug Nation or my life, Burning Man is very important to me. And this next year will be my 20th year at Burning Man. And Burning Man, Black Rock City, has changed dramatically over those 20 years. Not nearly as much the event, although there has been changes, but the what I wanted to address was the change in Burning Man as it relates to and its role in our culture. 20 years ago, it was counterculture and underground, and you know, you could go out there with pretty much safe knowledge that nobody would know about it unless they were there. There was very few people taking pictures. There was very few digital cameras. No one had cell phones. My first year there, I walked around, you know, naked for a couple days without any real thought about that, you know, the picture could go on the internet or be seen by anyone, because it was a smaller internet and it was a less sharing world. Which is why I can still tell everyone that I'm well hung, because none of those photographs or images ever were made public. That's very different now. In fact, back then, you know, you would be very brave to share publicly that you went to Burning Man. It's kind of career suicide if you told people that you went to Burning Man, because people had the assumption that it was about sex and drugs and deviant behavior. Now, people still think that, but they no longer judge it in the same way, because there have been so many people that have gone over the years that have made massive impacts to society. You know, the Google executives, Elon Musk. It is now understood that Burning Man is a place where big thinking happens, where big ideas, where incredible networking and you know, exploration of future-bending, world-changing, you know, philosophy and innovation happens. And that's freaking awesome. And I think what became clear to me this year, as I'm thinking about going into 2017, is that Burning Man is more important now than it's ever been. Because in a lot of ways, I feel like Burning Man is like the seed bank of creative ideas and outside the box thinking, and maybe it's radically accepting of ideas and philosophies and science and chemicals and everything that is outside what is the status quo is acceptable. And as we are going into a cultural ice age, where we are closing down the acceptance of creativity and weirdness, and the status quo is becoming more judgmental, and there's becoming more ridicule, and the mocking of the different is becoming more accepted. The need for things like Burning Man to protect and exalt and support the fringe is critical. We need the seed bank. We need these pockets, because it is in the fringe, beyond what already is, where we find the solutions. Einstein says, you know, we cannot solve the problems with the same things that created them. And so while Burning Man is fun and wacky and there's great music and incredible people and it's just like it's a good time and it's a good party, it's also critical for our planet's future, I believe. Definitely our country's. And I think that I'm willing to say that Burning Man is a form of activism. That holding the line of freak flag flying, holding the line of being different and weird, holding the line of saying the unpopular, being the unpopular, is important and becoming more important by the day. So I want to reach out my support to anyone who is on the fringe, feeling the pinch maybe, or maybe feeling like it's becoming more and more acceptable to ridicule or professionally impede someone's career path because of ideas that are outside what is becoming a factless path of future. And I mean, and I want to encourage people to hold that line, hold that warrior stance, regardless if you go to Burning Man or not. Remember that we can gather in places like this online. We can find pockets of support in digital and physical networks to keep the fire going as the cold sets in, to keep the seeds alive as the permafrost, which is not permanent, makes it feel like the fertility of our world and our culture is becoming stagnant and barren. So yeah, go Burning Man 2017. I'm very excited about. The theme is Radical Ritual. I've got all sorts of momentum already with Pink Heart, and I feel like Pink Heart especially, I feel a call and a responsibility, because being fuzzy and pink and open-hearted and vulnerable, and I think that those, like I said, these are some of the qualities that are becoming almost dangerous in the world that is happening. That isn't to say that it is simply the state of the landscape. It isn't necessarily good or bad. It is simply the state of things. In many ways, the state of things has the potential to breed miracles and amazing things. I mentioned last week that over New Year's, I talked to some friends who were so excited about 2017. They're like, man, this is the best landscape. This is the best climate we've ever had for bold creative expression, for courageous creativity. And I think that that's the way that we need to see this, as a call to arms, as a instigator. And Burning Man and the like, communities that support our truth, is, these are the Rebel Alliance that is going to have some dark days, but the force is strong. The force is with us always, even in the dark nights. Speaking of that, I saw Rogue One last night. I had not seen it yet. I got tickets for my dad, my brother, and my nephew. So we had three generations go to see the new Star Wars movie. I wore my new ritual cloak with the huge hood that kind of looks very much like a Jedi Knight outfit. And I was so excited. You know, I bought some plastic light-up lightsabers, and I got to the parking lot early so I could meet my nephews. And I was all dressed up, and I had my hood over, and I called them. I'm like, where, how close are you guys? I was waiting. And they came in two different cars. So my two nephews came. The first nephew, you know, I'm like, hello, young Padawan. And he kind of looks at me and goes, did you see the Corvette that's parked over there? It's like, yeah, that's cool. And then my other nephew comes up, and I'm like, hello. And he looks at me and goes, man, did you see that cool Corvette? I was like, really? Nothing like the mouth of babes. Nothing like a kid to keep you in check and let you know that you ain't all that. So I very much enjoyed the new Star Wars movie. And I was a huge Star Wars fan growing up. I collected Star Wars action figures, acting out little scenes with Star Wars characters. It was a massive part of my childhood. In fact, for the longest time, every time I would be outside, especially in people's yards, my first thought when I would see shrubbery or bushes or big rocks, my thought would be, that's a cool place to play with action figures. Oh man, what a cool yard to play with action figures. I still think about those sometimes. Or sometimes I'll see a yard, I'm like, what a cool landscaped yard. What? Oh, yeah, it's because it would be a cool place to play with action figures. Norm Rai reminding us, I am one with the Force. The Force is with me. Yeah, that, oh, boom, I love that movie. So I kind of want to see it again because it was awesome. And speaking of awesomeness and movies, last night was the Golden Globes, I believe. I didn't really watch them. I have a hard time watching. I don't watch much TV. Watch TV. Although I don't want to get on my high horse that, oh, I don't have a TV because I watch Netflix like crazy. And who am I to say that one form of media entertainment is better than another? Although the one without advertising is better. Moving on. Right after it happened, someone posted the video of Meryl Streep speech, and I encourage you to search that out and watch it. And then so I watched it, and then I watched it again, then I watched it again, and I was so struck. She did this impassioned speech about the state of the world, and it was a criticism of our incoming president without ever saying his name, and at the same time as a, you know, kind of a plea to people, and as well as a celebration, I think, of America. And, you know, Meryl Streep is, there's an Onion article that says, you know, what is it, like, lawsuit against Meryl Streep thrown out of court because unable to find jury of her peers, no peers available. Yeah, she's a superhuman entertainer. And it was really cool to see her speak from the heart in a way that just made, wow, the role of a lifetime for Meryl Streep happens to be being Meryl Streep. The person who introduced her said that she embodies this quote by Emile Zola. If you ask me what I came to do in this world, I, an artist, will answer you. I am here to live out loud. Boom! Yes. No matter what you produce artistically, we are all artists. We're here to live out loud. We are here to express our truth. And some people were critical of Meryl Streep for being political, you know, at something like the Golden Globes, where I'm like, what? If she hasn't earned the right to speak her mind there, what's the frickin' point? Living out loud, living it artistically, you know, if all we want is robots performing roles, then we have CGI to do that now. But to see a human being inhabit a role and make us feel, you know, part of the reason why we feel is because of the person who does it. And that's why we, I think, are so attracted to the people who can do so. So I was, again, I encourage you to watch it. I watched it a bunch of times, partially because I was so impressed with what she said and also how she said it, and just the ease and the her delivery. I mean, obviously it's Meryl Streep, but you know, it was beautiful. I'll do one more just topic, and then we'll do a hug, and then we'll have a more casual talk. I wanted to just mention that I've had some very incredible experiences recently working with coaches or in coaching situations. And if you are at a place in your life where you're kind of maybe plateauing or feeling like you need some help, I would encourage you to think of coaching as a very worthwhile investment in yourself. Obviously, if you just cannot afford it, then read books about it and watch lectures online. But there's something about the power of working with a person. Had a great experience, you know, before the burn this year working with Mark Shapiro, and I would highly recommend him. I had a great stretch working with Eric Karpinski, and I'm going to be working with Jesse Gross, who's someone who I've been connected to online and been very influenced by, and had a call this morning with him that went. I was so excited. I was so excited. I'm so excited to write right now. I'm so excited to put together my next book. And it went from a place of I need to, I should do, to oh my gosh, I want to, I get to, and it kind of really helped me see, made a fuzzy path into one of clarity. And so I'm just want to reflect that as you know, a valuable tool in my life, and encourage you. I also occasionally do some coaching myself. So if there's something in the way that I speak or something that I have said that you feel like one-on-one attention and one-on-one coaching would work for you, I will make room for one or two people in the beginning of this year. Let's say two. So if that's really you and you're really called to it, you know, I have a ton of free things online, so I don't offer that for free. We can talk about, anyway, I'm going too deep, but get coaching, not necessarily for me. Keep on the path of growth. Having help is not shameful. In fact, it is critical. Michael Jordan has a coach. If you next week, I'm going to talk about a new book that I'm reading, Mark Manson's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. He is an incredible columnist, and his new book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, has already filled my head with ideas and things that I want to share that's been like zinging. So if you want to start reading that and kind of have things to talk about or questions, and maybe you can do some more like live chats if people want to like read along. Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck just came out, and highly recommend it. And with that, let's have a hug. Grab yourself by the shoulder and embrace this body of yours, this miracle. Maybe become aware of any place that you are healing or wounded or what some stories would say imperfect, and just be aware of how miraculous this healing machine is. How as my eye is puffing up, that is the result of a system working. That is the result of a self-healing, fully autonomous, self-contained hospital. I don't even need to think about it. Yes, I can put hot compresses on it, but it does all the work by itself while I'm sleeping. It's probably when the most work is done. Probably the less I deal with it, probably the better. So let's be grateful for this body. And let's be grateful for our thoughts. Even though that often the thoughts get us caught up in suffering, and the thoughts get us caught up in anxiety about a future or shame or guilt about a past. Become aware of that and just be grateful for that ability to get caught up, to have emotion, to enjoy a roller coaster. And as we become aware of it, be able to distance ourselves and appreciate it. Maybe take off that personality for a moment. Take off that identify with the body and just become into the state of nowness, presence. And as we are in that presence, free from that personality, free from the physical body, simply being the love that flows through us, being the light that shines through us, being that light and that love as we take one deep breath together and then sigh it out. Ready? Inhale through the nose. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. I love you.